Well, hi, and welcome to the Grace Christian Church podcast with Pastor Rob Parlente. Grace Christian Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church meeting right here in Manalpin, New Jersey. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. at the Manalpin Community Center. Come check us out.
The title of my message this morning is Grace Perks. Grace Perks. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. So before I get into what a grace perk is into this message, I want to first define what a perk is. What is a perk? So I went online, I went on Wikipedia, I went on Dictionary Online, and I had two definitions of what a perk is and as a noun. And definition one is money, goods, or other benefits to which one is entitled as an employee or as a shareholder of a company. And they use this word, this description, this sentence. It says, many agencies are helping to keep personnel at their jobs by providing perks. So an example of the word perk is something extra given to an employee, maybe a bonus, or maybe better health insurance, or maybe more time off, whatever it is, to keep them employed. So that's kind of one definition. Another definition is an advantage or benefit following from a job or situation. And that word we could use in a sentence such as, they were busy discovering the perks of town life. So you live in a certain area, what's the perks of living in that area? There's the town life, right? There's trains, perhaps, maybe. There's a nightlife. You know, we live not too far from Freehold, and I think Freehold's a cool little town to hang out in and have dinner, correct? Mm-hmm. My wife loves that, and she has to do that. We'll do that soon. Amen. But a perk is, let's kind of define it. It's an advantage or a benefit of being in a situation, okay, or in some activity. Now, I'm not a big guy on credit cards, and I'll explain to you. Lately, I've noticed there's a lot of perks in using a credit card. You notice that? In the past, years ago, when we first moved here into the year 2000, I was strictly a cash guy. If I didn't have the cash, I didn't buy it. And it was a check and balance for me. And as a matter of fact, on our first house, when we first moved in, we didn't have enough money to furnish the house, believe it or not, and to be charged a lot of stuff, right?
Yes.
And I remember going into our living room, and the previous homeowner took away the chandelier, because they love that chandelier, right? Just a box, electrical box there.
Of course.
And Laura says, my wife says, we got to go get a light, okay? And of course, I didn't want to spend money on that chandelier, but I did. But I used cars, but then I realized I really didn't like it, because it took me years to pay it off, but it took me 5 years, actually, to pay off all we charged to move into that house. But today, there's perks to cards, and I like them because you can get cash back as a perk. Or another card I have two, where you get Amazon dollars. And I love that because Amazon, to me, is the best thing going. Buying stuff. If anything breaks in your home, you go to Amazon, you find the part, and you can fix it. You know, my dishwasher broke, and I found a little wheel on the cart for $15, and I fixed it. But when you check out on Amazon, and with me, with this card, it pops up. You want to use the monies. And then, okay, yes. So it deducts off the price of the unit or whatever I'm buying. But to me, that's like getting something free, right? It's like a gift. It's a perk. You know what? There's perks with being in Christ. There are perks of being in grace. You know what? There's perks of receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's perks and advantages of Him being in our life when we believe in the gospel. So I'm going to look at that today. We're going to look at Christ offering grace perks as we look at Romans chapter 5. And then we're going to look at three perks that Jesus gives man when they believe the gospel and they put their trust in Him for eternal life. And these three perks are my 3 points of the message today. Point one is the gift of grace. And that's going to be Romans 5, 12 to 19. Mm-hmm. Standing in grace, Romans 5, 1 to 2. And reigning in grace, Romans 5, 3 to 11, and 20 to 21. And what I'm doing here is I'm going to the middle of the verse, this chapter, going to the beginning, and then going to the end, so it flows better. So I want to read now, if you have your Bible, open it up to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. And this is the NAS version. Follow along, and then we'll open the service in prayer. It says this, Romans 5, 17. For if by the transgressions of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and open the service in prayer. Lord, I just pray you speak through my lips today the wonderful, wonderful truths and power of your grace in our lives, in us and through us. I pray, Lord, that we rest in these truths and understand what we have. It's such a wonderful, wonderful benefit, advantage to live life connected to you. I thank you for that, and I pray, Lord, that you work in our lives and show us today these wonderful truths, and we can rest in them. In Jesus' name, amen. So every week now, the last several weeks, I've been talking about the gospel. I start off every message now, if you notice, the last four. What's the gospel? Because the book of Romans really is unfolding what the gospel gives us. It's unfolding what the gospel means to us. But the nuts and bolts of the gospel is 1 Corinthians 15. I say it every week, and I want you to really understand it. 3-4 says this, "For I delivered to you as the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." So the gospel is this: Christ died for our sins, Christ was buried, Christ was resurrected. By that act, that's God's offer of spiritual life to man. That is it. There's nothing added to it. There's nothing taken away from it. It's Christ plus nothing. Believe in that. Immediately, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. It's simply that. And we're unfolding all that in the book of Romans. But up to this point, we looked at Romans, just circling your key verses so far. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Remember that verse for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Circle it. That's a key theme verse for the whole book. A key verse for chapter 2 would be 2, 4. It talks about God's grace leads men to repentance. God gives men a free will, a free choice to choose him. But his goodness and grace leads men to him. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. We looked at Romans 3, 23 to 24, circle it, key verse. For all sin and fall short of the glory of God. All men in comparison to God will never measure up to his perfection. Amen. Look at that. And last week we looked at Romans 4, 3 about Abraham. It said Abraham believed and it was credited to him for righteousness. Remember that? So that was last week, looking at an Old Testament example of somebody receiving, looking forward, and being saved. Looking forward to the cross. So now we're at chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And look at our first point. Is the gift of grace. And we're going to start this verse 5. In chapter 5. Verse 12 to 19. Now in these verses. 12 to 19. Paul is making a comparison. He's making a comparison of the one man. Versus another man. He's making a comparison between Adam. And what he did. And the spiritual deadness he caused from his sin. And what Christ offers, spiritual life and justification, and what Christ did on the cross. So that whole, all those verses, 12 to 19, are comparing what Adam did and what Christ offers. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as one man, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned." Therefore, so, Paul's making a point. Through one man, sin entered the world and death spread to all men. And this is spiritual death. Now, I have to explain this again, and I've done this several times. What is spiritual death? You have to go back and look at the garden. You have to go back and look at the creation of man. Because in Genesis 2:7, this is from the King James Version, says this. When God created man, he said, "The Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. And I put in parentheses body," I added that to the scriptures, guys. "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, which is the spirit," I added that in parentheses. "And man became a living soul." So God created man, amen, with a body, a physical body, a spirit, and a living soul. But when Adam sinned in the garden, what happened? Man became separated from God spiritually. He became spiritually dead. That spirit was connected to the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit was removed and separated from his human spirit. Now man is living today with a soul and a body and a dead human spirit, not alive to God. That's the plight of man. Man is trying to live life today in a physical body with his depending on his soul. his mind, will, and emotions to navigate life. And I've been telling, I thought my illustration is, that's like trying to live, okay, instead of taking a stool with three legs and taking one leg away, it wobbles. You need stability, you need the Holy Spirit. But you know what? God originally designed man to be connected to the Holy Spirit. And God made a way. We'll show that now in Christ. We can still do that today. But this separation causes a lot of issues for man. A lot of issues. And there's two main issues I want to point out today. And that's this. That because of that sin, man is separated from the life of God. And the result is spiritual deadness. Secondly, they are separated from the source of God, resulting in self-reliance. Do you see that? You were 100%, all needs were met in the garden. Everything was supplied by God. When that spirit has been ripped away, that source is no longer. You see that? That source is no longer God. That source now is us, depending on ourselves to navigate life in this world. You know, our ministry friend, Bill Loveless, Christ is Life Ministries. If you guys follow him on Facebook, go on his website. Wonderful curriculum he has. He has this book, workbook called Living Life from a New Source. And he makes this statement about what a spiritually dead man is, what he's left to. And he says this, this is so powerful. Man is left on his own to be his own source, to meet his own needs, to solve his own problems, and to try to make life a success. Look at that. Man is left on his own, to be on his own, be his own source, to meet his own need, to solve his own problems, and to try to make life a success. Brothers and sisters, can you see the plight of man? How hard is that? How hard is that? How hard is life to live like that? You have to make it work. You have to make life a success. That's self-reliance. And you know what? That, to me, is a root cause of most of the sin of sins today. It's this. It's a horrible predicament to be in. We have a spiritual vacuum in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit, amen? But God did something. He gave us an answer, and that is in Jesus Christ. Because Paul contrasts now what Adam did, which is entered sin into the world through him, what Jesus offers. And Jesus does this. In these verses, talks about this word. He uses the word five times. The word gift. The word gift. The word gift. A gift of righteousness. Gift is used in verse 15, the beginning of an A, first part of the verse, says a free gift. Verse 15 at the end says, a gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. Beginning of 16 says, it's a gift which is not like that from the sin of Adam. 16, end of 16, says it's a gift resulting in justification. And then verse 17, it's a gift of righteousness, which is being made right by God. Adam's sin, Jesus' gift of righteousness. It's a gift that can be received. It can be a gift that can be rejected. Okay? But this gift brings back spiritual life. This gift brings back, restores back what was lost in the garden, which that spirit reconnected to your human spirit. Verse 16 and 5:16 says, the gift is not that like that which came just through the one man who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. On the other hand, the free gift arose from transgressions, resulting in justification. It's a free gift. Verse 17, for if by the transgressions of one, death reigned through the one, much more those who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign through the one, Jesus Christ. So do you see man's predicament? Do you see God's solution? Do you see that this gift has been received by faith? We talked about this in chapter 3. Righteousness is by faith. Justification is by faith. Being right, made by God, and faith in Christ is being right by faith. Abraham chapter 4, he had faith. All works and is established and is initiated by faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That's receiving the gift. That's becoming born again. That's the Spirit connecting to your human spirit and you having something new. So what's the perk from this gift? What's the perk from Christ's grace gift? Spiritual life. Amen. Being joined, your human spirit, to the Holy Spirit, and being made right. Amen. Being restored and being made right. And secondly, now you have a new source to live the Christian life, and that is God, You are no longer on your own. You have Him to guide you. Amen. You have Him in you to instruct you. You have Him to guide you through the tribulations and trials of this crazy world we live in. Amen. Isn't that a good gift? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. What an awesome gift. Uh-huh. It's Christ's grace gift. Now, what about the second perk? Standing in grace. Now, I'm going to go back to chapter, first verse, the second verse of 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Now, something's different here. Paul describes something. By faith, what do? We enter into this thing called grace. And he says, this is the grace in which we stand in verse 2. Okay? We enter in by, I've been saying, chapter 3, chapter 4, by faith, amen? We enter into this thing in which we stand, which is called grace. Man, having spiritual life, has entered into this system. Now, let me explain something that's very confusing today. There's a broader idea of entering and standing in grace, okay? Because we transition from one system of living to another system of living. We transition from a system of law and rules to live to a system of living by grace, living and receiving instead of achieving. Systems of living versus a system of achieving. System of rules to a system of receiving. See, we have transitioned from a different way to live because we are standing in grace. Before, we were standing in sin and death, separated from God. There's a big, big difference, amen? Do you see that? Do you see that? A law-based system is old covenant. It's old covenant rules, 613 of them, to please God and be righteous, which we can never keep. But new covenant is based on grace. It's new. You have the Holy Spirit to guide and teach you. This is a big, big, big deal. Amen? Amen? We need to understand this, folks here today and folks listening. We are under grace. We are standing in grace. Okay? But what does grace mean? You know, we always use the acronym. God's riches at Christ's expense. Wow, that's great. Grace. Or, grace is unmerited favor. That is all true. But I like to say this. Grace is having spiritual life, and grace is having Christ's life. Amen? So now that we are in this new thing called grace, we're in the age of grace, we're standing in grace, how does it work and how do we live? Titus 2, 11 to 12 says, For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That verse in Titus says, the grace of God is, in verse 12, instructing us, teaching us, guiding us. That's what we have. That's what's different about being in standing in grace. That's what's different about being in the new covenant. Amen? We have Him in us. Okay? We are righteous. And He's teaching us. Now, I want to make a distinction. We are righteous in Christ. Amen? Didn't we determine that already by faith? We are right. But what does He say to live righteously and sensibly? What God is doing in our lives is showing us errors in which we believe in. And then when He teaches us and we trust Him and He works in our lives, we express righteousness. Expressing righteousness has nothing to do with being righteous. Amen? It's by faith. So by faith we are justified, by faith we are made right, but God is instructing us to express that, working in our lives, renewing our minds, and working in our flesh. That's what He's doing. Okay? If we sin or are not righteous in some act during the week or during whatever month, doesn't mean we're not righteous. In God's eyes, we are righteous by faith. It's so important, you cannot lose it. It's not based on your behavior, amen? You know what? Philippians 1:6 says this, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." You know who is doing the work? You know who's doing the transforming? Christ in you is doing the transforming. Amen. Amen? You know what? We don't conform ourselves to the image of Christ externally. It's done by Him internally. So, rule keeping in living the Christian life is like this. It's to try to externally change thought processes and behaviors. It doesn't work. Because under grace, God is transforming man, us, renewing our minds from the inside out. He is perfecting the good work he began in us. We look at that just now in Philippians 1:6. So let me ask you this question this morning, all who are listening, amen. Who is transforming you into the image of Christ? Who is transforming you into the image of God? Is it you or is it Christ? Is it you or is it Christ?
Christ.
Amen. It's Christ. We do it by allowing Him to be our source, into going to Him to be our source. But brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, you guys maybe understand it. Someone listening here understand it. But most people don't understand that, what I just said. They think they're transformed from the outside by doing, by working, by trying all these techniques. But no, God says, no, I'm the source. I'm transforming you from the inside out. I began a good work in you. Amen. It's such a horrible lie that so many people have taken on and believe. You know, I've been in ministry 25 years in leadership and 30 years a Christian, and this is what I see. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest problems in the church today is that the church is teaching man can externally change himself, that man can conform himself to the image of God, okay, and man needs to balance old covenant with new covenant, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what is that implying, brothers and sisters? What is that implying? Work. That's implying work. But this is what it's implying. It's implying that God isn't good enough to conform you into His image. God isn't good enough to do it. He needs your help. Brothers and sisters, He doesn't need your help. He works in your life, in you, and through you. You just need to be available to Him to work by allowing and trusting Him to work in you and transform you from the inside out. You know what? But most preaching today promotes external conformity to godliness, which never works. And here's the secret why it will never work. God would never allow man to be His source of transformation. Because if that worked, man wouldn't need God. Think about that. That is so powerful. God would never allow you to change yourself externally because then you wouldn't need Him. Brothers and sisters, stop trying to do that. Stop trying to transform yourself into His image. Ask Him to reveal truth to you and work through you and the inside to be your source. Amen? Stop trying. Stop trying. It only leads to Christ anyway. And I'm going to save you years of frustration, amen, if you're online. Because I was there. I was there. 8, 9, 10 years. I tried so hard to conform myself to the image of Christ. And I got so frustrated, brothers and sisters, that I almost gave up and said, this Christian thing doesn't work. But you know what the Lord did? He said, Rob, you know what? He stripped me clean of every... I tried so many things. I read my Bible every morning. I got up, what time? 5 o'clock. I did devotions every day, 10 years straight. You know, prayed every day. Went to studies every day. Was in leadership meetings every day. Did all these things. And what I found is that what? It didn't work. And God said, you don't need that. Stop all that. Just trust me and I will do the work in you and show you. And He was so true and so right. That's a hidden secret, brothers and sisters. But so many people are forcing us to work, to rely on externals to conform us. You can't do it. You can't do it. You know, the law describes sin. It might guide you into some rule and show you what's right or wrong, but it can't transform you, amen? This is a big, 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 big problem, brothers and sisters. And I pray if you're in that and you can keep trying, I don't want you to try anymore. I want you to stop trying. I want you just to rest in Christ and let Him work. It's so powerful. It is so powerful. Amen? You know what? But some of us aren't there yet. And we want to keep trying. And that's okay because you will see eventually that you need Him to be the source to conform you. You cannot conform yourself into His image. Amen? So what? This is what I'm saying. What's the perk of this standing in grace? What's the perk? It's a new way to live and we stand in grace and God is working in us to conform us. We're not to worry about transforming. We're just receiving, learning, going to Him, and allowing Him to work in us and through us and conforming us. He does the work, amen, not you. Isn't that so refreshing? Isn't that such a restful way to live the Christian life? I believe it is. Third work. Reigning in grace. Romans 5, 3 to 11. And then last 20 to 21. Now Paul uses this word reigning in the last few for several verses. Reigning. And he talks about sin reigning, spiritual deadness reigning, but he also talks about grace reigning, spiritual life reigning. Well, what does this idea of reigning mean? It's really authority, possessing or exercising sovereign power, and ruling. So this reigning has power. So he's contrasting, again, Adam to grace with Christ. Sin has power, locks us in to sin. It's power, we're condemned because of it, but grace offers spiritual life. So sin reigned in death, sin reigned spiritual deadness, but grace reigns righteousness, grace reigns spiritual life. So back to our key verse of this chapter. For if by the transgressions of one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You know, because we have been made right, because we have faith, because we are justified, we will reign in life. Do you know that? You will reign in this Christian life. Reigning means to have power, to have authority, and in exercising this power. Listen, that's a wonderful perk. Amen? Mm-hmm. That is a wonderful perk that you can reign from the power of Him in you. Amen? That's the power we can reign as a Christian, and that's the power that we have because of Him. You know what? We can reign in our trials. You know what? Chapter 5, 3 to 5 talks about trials and what they do and they create character. You know what? We can reign in our trials. God exposing these lies and conforming us to His image and helping us to look at Him and say, I trust You in this, Lord. I'm not trying to manipulate life. I trust You. Show me the lies I live in. These trials sometimes come upon us, brothers and sisters, to show us we're trusting the wrong thing. We're trusting in the lie. We can reign in life when we're reconciled. You know, verses 6 to 11. Paul's all about reconciliation. We're reconciled back to God, amen. We can have an intimate relationship with Him. That's a wonderful perk, amen. What a wonderful, wonderful grace perk. So what is the perk of reigning in grace? You know what I say? Spiritual power to live the Christian life and intimacy with God by knowing Him. So brothers and sisters, we covered a lot today, do we not? Grace perks. Amen. You know what? I got that credit card. And I got Amazon points. And I love it. But you know what? When we receive Christ, we got a lot of points. We got a lot of perks, amen. We got a lot of advantages, amen. People don't talk about this. It's kind of hidden. You know, we're always still stuck on one side of the cross of forgiveness of sins. Yes, that is so true. But what about the power of sin is broken after the cross? Living the Christian life. There's a lot of perks, amen. There's power in living the Christian life when we realize what we have, amen? We have a gift of grace. We have new life. We have a new source to live the Christian life. It's easy to live that way. It's peaceful to live that way. And it's a restful way to live life. You know what? The other perk is we stand in grace. We're now in a new covenant, amen? We're not under law anymore. We don't have to work to receive righteousness. We are righteous. Amen? No more working. It's resting. That's a wonderful, wonderful grace perk. Then lastly, reigning in grace, we have power to live the Christian life. To me, that's wonderful. Is it getting any better than that, brothers and sisters? Grace perks. Grace perks. Let's take advantage. Let's understand it. And let's live it. Amen? If you're today, don't understand it, ask the Lord to reveal His wonderful truths to you so you can live in His wonderful, wonderful grace. Because you know you are standing in grace, you are reigning in grace, and you have received the gift of grace. That to me, nothing beats that, sisters. And that's the hidden message that the church is missing today, I believe. And if you understand these things, you will have power in the Christian life. Amen. So I'm going to close this in prayer. We are going to sing the last song. So let's bow our heads and thank You, Lord, for the scriptures, for Romans, all these wonderful truths and, in a sense, benefits and power we have when we stand in You, stand in Your grace, live in the new covenant, understand that we live in the new covenant, we have your spirit. We are righteous. What a wonderful spirit to be renewed from you, connected to you, and living connected to you, trusting in you, and having you be our source of life. Thank you, Lord, for this time and these messages.
it's just, it's a simple message, but I think we as human beings, we complicate it, we just get in the way of God. And I just pray that we just be mindful of that and mindful of you and all that you are in us and all you are to us, Father God, that you would just continue to use us and keep us focused on you. And I thank you for this time today that we've had, and I pray that we leave here just blessed and encouraged and focusing on you, Lord Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen.